Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
I'm gonna float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see.
There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron.
George, the drive. Hang. Fire.
Yes!
He scores!
In the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
And again, but Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Welcome into the ninth circle. Alex Gallant joined by myself, Kyler Mead,
wow.
And Trey Lanthier.
Two weeks in a row with
end
really
of the
bad
stick.
Intros.
Oh, give me a break.
He just
didn't want to introduce me first. This is much different from...
So you start off by saying someone else's name?
Hey!
So after this would be Trey Lanthier.
Alex, yeah,
Alex
maybe.
Gallant.
No, it's not that.
Join me in the ninth
What's
circle.
What's wrong with
it's
that?
It's him putting himself in the middle that confused me a little, like sandwiched.
What it is that Alex is in a suit. Well, not a suit, but a shirt and tie, and he looks very—he just looks like he's in charge.
Are you calling out my polo? My polo
looks
nice.
There's a hole
in
your polo.
In it. That's what I was just gonna say.
There is a hole in my polo. Not my polo. My polos don't have holes.
Okay, oh, not
touche.
Wearing a polo.
That's true. I'm wearing
the most undressed person here tonight.
This is true.
I'm wearing a T-shirt. Now that everybody knows what we are wearing, we can move on to the remainder of the ninth circle. So, guys, it was ninth circle at the basketball game night tonight.
That should have been the promotion.
Were there. I know. We should have done that.
WCSN appreciation night.
It really was. We were all there. The three of us were there. Alex was working as the Pac-12
Thank
stats
you.
Guy because he is the best. And Trey and I were just there as fans because even though we're journalists, we like to take in a game from time to time.
Who wouldn't?
And of course, the WCSN crew was there in full effect.
The entourage.
Yep, there were a few guys there as fans. There were a few guys there reporting, a few guys there doing pictures. So shout out to the basketball crew. Great work. Kerry Crowley was doing the Blaze call even. So WCSN basically owned that basketball game. Just like... in the second half, the Sun Devils did. So, nice Sun Devil win. Now they're 3-0. First time since, I don't know how long. I could have looked that up, but I didn't. And, I don't know, I'm feeling a little good about ASU basketball. Now, granted, it's been, obviously, as they say, the cream puff variety in Central Arkansas, Florida A&M, Cornell. But I think Cornell is a little bit of a step up from those guys. And I know, Alex, that you think the same.
Certainly. I mean, this is an Ivy League team. They're always gritty, well-coached, disciplined. They put up a fight in that first half, taking the lead 25-22, going into the break. And it sort of was reminiscent of last season when the Sun Devils came out, rushed some shots. I think it was 3 of 16, I believe they were, in the first half from three-point range. Just way too many threes.
Well,
really
not only
little discombobulated.
They were so early in the shot clock.
Yeah.
It was so unlike the ASU we've seen so far this year with the methodical setup, get inside to Paczynski and the big guys. And you didn't see that at all in the first half. But the second half was a different story, fortunately.
Yeah.
For ASU.
I mean, what have you guys? I mean, with this game, with the Florida A&M game, we talked about Central Arkansas last week. What have been the impressions? What have you noticed? What do you like? What are you concerned about?
It's a streaky team. We've seen so many stretches where the team just kind of doesn't show up, and that's a problem. Because when you're playing against Pac-12 teams, granted, the Pac-12 is not deep. The Pac-12 is not that great, but you still can't take games off. You can't take halves off. If you play the way you did against Cornell in that first half, you're not coming out alive against Pac-12 team, the way I see it. They're an Ivy League school, but that doesn't make them at the level that you're going to face in conference play if you're Arizona State. However, when they do play on their hot streaks, when Paczynski and Carson, Gordon, all of them are clicking on all cylinders with their forte, with what they do best, it's when you start to realize that this team does have potential. This team has growth and can meet that. But when you see the down points, it's like, wow, how can you drop that much? Or how can you shoot up that much in the span of a game? I mean, those two halves we watched tonight, the last half was 2011 ASU basketball. Or 2011, 2012, whatever. But ASU basketball. It was last season.
And the last half or the first half?
The first half.
The first half.
The first half was last season.
Yes.
And now you see that second half and you realize, wow, this is a different team. But can they play a full game that way? And I think that's the biggest question mark that I see heading into the remainder of the season.
And I agree. I would say what is encouraging to me watching that game and what I have been able to watch of the Sun Devils is that it is evident that it's a game plan execution issue. It's not an ability issue. It's not an experience issue necessarily, but it's a situation where it's just they're not doing what they can and should do. When they do what they can and should do, what they want to do, they execute and they play pretty dang well. Now, I think they would have lost against just most Pac-12 teams playing. If they played that game against most Pac-12 teams, they would have lost. But it's always every game is different, obviously. What I think is good is that the defensive side of the ball looks excellent. Jordan Bochynski, another 7-block game. Now, that's not going to happen against bigger teams, but
leads the nation in blocks per game, yes, average-wise. Yeah.
When you watch him, he has the timing of blocking, driving players,
yep,
down.
Yes.
He has the footwork. He has the movement, where he needs to stand, weights to jump. And his timing and coordination are excellent. It's an enormous step above what he was doing last season. And we talked about what an impact that could have on this team. Evan Gordon played very well. Jonathan Gilling played excellent defense in this game, something that he wasn't really known for. Jonathan Gilling was one of the most, I would say, effective presences on the court throughout this past game. These are very, very encouraging things. Jahi Carson didn't play bad defense. Chris Colvin played good defense. These are very encouraging things in the new man-to-man defense. Granted, against maybe not the best of players, but there are some talented guards on that team. And they were able to execute defensively to keep themselves in a game when they weren't playing well on the offensive end. And then when they were executing offensively, the defense gave them the space they needed to make a run.
And it's also safe to say that this obviously wasn't their best offensive performance, correct? And it was
definitely
a disappointment. It was a disappointment. However, when we say it's a disappointment of 64 points, that's way better than what happened last year. So it's already a step forward when you're saying a disappointment this year is better than last year. I mean, some point totals they put up in Pac-12 play last year was atrocious.
Well,
UCLA 58, 58, 54, 43, 54, 44, 47, 49. They're scoring in the high 40s and low 50s after game last year. So when you see 64 as a disappointment this year, that shows that this offense has the ability with this up-tempo style of play to really take a step forward and go toe to toe with some of these teams. They only scored 22 points in the first half, but 42 in the second to put the game away.
And not only that, but remember last year a win was a gift. I mean, if this team's winning a game, it's a miracle. For this game we watched tonight, everyone's going, man, you know, this feels like a kind of a bummer win. And it's surprising because, listen, it's a win. But the thing is, it's showing you that the culture is changing out here to fit a more successful style of basketball. You know, I mean, the team is 3-0. Regardless of what you make of their schedule, they've won 3 games. They've lost none. I mean, you got to be proud with what they put on the table. Last year, I don't know if this team would be 3-0. I don't know if this team gets out of the first half rut last year. But they did it this year, and they're proving that Jahi Carson is that difference maker, that Jordan Bochynski is carrying through the second half of last year and starting it up again this year. And ASU has a chance to become a good team. But we can't say great team. We can't say excellent. But
They're still growing.
But
the fact that they're 3-0, we don't know how far they're going to go.
The fact they're 3-0 is enough to be proud of.
They're winning the games they're supposed to win, unlike last year.
And they're winning them not by close margins.
No, they're pretty reasonably
handling themselves. They're putting these
games away. Yeah. I'll say this. The one big concern I have is Jahi Carson, who's supposed to be, and I think is, the renaissance spark in this team. You know, as much as we're excited that Bochynski's getting better, as much as we're excited that Gordon's here, Jahi Carson is the reason there's excitement, or was before the season. Now, while he's got 220-point games on out of 3, which is great, he's not demonstrating he doesn't have to be a pass-first point guard. He doesn't have to be Rajon Rondo. But he's not demonstrating an ability that even a shoot-first point guard, a guy like Russell Westbrook, for example, has to distribute the ball almost at all. He has a real difficulty getting the ball, these inlet passes, when it's a 7-foot guy standing over a 6'8 guy just chilling there waiting for the ball. He has a real difficulty running the pick and roll. And I think that's a little bit on Bochynski. They need to work that out.
Yeah.
But that's on Jahi as well.
It's on both.
It's on both.
Yeah.
When you watched during that game, there were so many moments when he would just dribble around, back and forth across the key, make a little drive. And what was fortunate was because in the second half, Bucinski got going offensively a little bit. They had to single cut. They had to give him single coverage. They weren't able to just bring both guys in the paint up to just clog the trash out of the lanes like they had in the first half. And he was able to draw some fouls. And that's where 11 of his points came from. He only shot 4 of 14 from the floor, which isn't bad.
But also,
if you're getting
credit him. Credit him for making those free throws, though.
Yes.
Unlike some other
yes.
people on the team, it's nice to know that you can have someone down the stretch
mm-hmm.
who can convert.
100%. 100%. I agree. I would like to see more of a capacity to distribute. He doesn't always have to distribute. I don't have to see 10, 11, assists every game. I don't have to see 6 or 7 assists. I just want to see a capacity for distribution, and
especially in these early games when you've got the flexibility to make those plays with less on the line. To be honest, I don't know that if Jahi turns the ball over 2 or 3 more times that they're going to lose this game. I think you take this opportunity to get that game time experience, try to find those guys, try to drop those plays, run the offense the way you're going to want to run it in Pac-12 play. And do we think Jahi Carson is going to continue scoring 20 plus a game in when you get to Pac-12 play? Maybe. But you're right in that if he's putting up assists as well, making him a dual threat was when he rises to become
He'll
an elite player.
He'll score more if he can start distributing. If defenses know they have to lay off him in case he gets that pass through the lane.
Yeah.
If defensive know they have to cover the other guys on the court.
So it's as much a self-preservation for him and his career as it is for ASU basketball.
And I think he's a smart kid. I think he's capable of doing something like that. But until I see that, I will have a concern about his ceiling. Now, that being said, about the goods and the concerns, do you guys have an adjusted, for lack of a better word, prediction? Do you have an adjusted expectation for this team after it's no longer hypothetical? You've seen the offense. You've seen Jahi Carson in sneakers and shorts. You've seen the new Jordan Bucinski, such as it is. Well, instead he wore suits and vests and stuff to the games last season, is what I'm saying. You've seen them in action. Granted, against weak opponents, do you have adjusted expectations at this point at all?
Slightly upward. And I think the biggest reason for that isn't because of ASU, but because of what the Pac-12 has done. The Pac-12 has looked abysmal to start off this year. I mean, Washington, we talked about it in the last show, already lost to
Albany.
Albany. UCLA barely escaped from
Georgia.
And
UC Irvine.
I mean,
and lost to Georgetown.
I mean,
well,
who wasn't?
Okay.
But they weren't expected to do anything this year. Georgetown,
Georgetown.
But still, when you follow that up from the UC Irvine game,
true,
a little bit of trouble. Only win by 4 against Georgia, team picked to
well. And the funny thing
the
is, they already made
the
case. Oh, we don't have Shabazz. It's the only reason.
Whatever.
And,
they still
and he
have.
Came back. I mean, what happens now?
Yeah. No. And exactly.
UCLA.
Exactly,
And seeing those teams perform the way they have. I mean, it looks like is a threat in the Pac-12
Well,
right
look at
now.
The whole conference.
So I have to adjust my expectations upward by default, just because ASU hasn't lost yet. And these other teams have seen losses. I mean,
Washington lost to Albany. Washington State, pasted by Kansas, only scored like 40 points. Oregon, Oregon State, their star player's out for the year now, Angus Brandt.
Oh, I hadn't
with an
seen
injury.
That hurts.
Cal, no Jorge Gutierrez. Stanford, possibly. Colorado
is in the top 25.
They're a solid team. I really like what Colorado's doing.
I think Colorado's going under the radar this year. But even then, I mean, if we can only name 2 teams that are guaranteed locks.
Well, Arizona.
No, 2 teams.
Arizona and Colorado.
And UCLA.
And you're going to go UCLA?
What are we saying? Guaranteed locks for what?
To beat ASU in a game.
I don't know. I haven't seen UCLA, but
I mean, but the point
is,
okay, let's
I'd
go.
Say
okay,
three.
Then let's say 3. Let's
okay,
say 3.
Yeah, no,
even
fine.
Then,
that's
though,
fine.
You're talking
still
about 8
top
teams.
Yeah.
You're talking about 8 teams that are not even a guarantee to beat Arizona State, who's supposed to be at the bottom of the conference.
Right. If Arizona State finishes in the top half of the conference, he's a surprise to most of us.
I mean, look at this. There's
if they finish in the top third, he's a surprise to everybody on the planet.
I know. I mean, if you look at this, there's only 5 Pac-12 teams that haven't lost yet. The other 7 have, and I mean,
with
Oregon
the schedules.
But listen,
I don't want too much stock in that. But you know, you're right, and I've been saying this. This is what I had been saying: is that the Pac-12 is so bad. How can you think that a better ASU team couldn't do more? But granted, you know, you look at how underwhelming it is, and then how much that, you know, maybe this ASU team could contend,
and
could
compete. To be honest, though, I wasn't expecting the Pac-12 to be this bad, okay? I mean, I know it's bad, but, I mean, they're not going to have anybody ranked in a couple weeks if UCLA keeps up their shambles season right now.
Right. Last season, going into Oregon, was we really didn't expect anything. Washington, we didn't expect it, although I think they did win a Washington game. Washington State, we didn't expect. They won one of the Washington State games. That's what I'm thinking of.
Washington
they didn't
State,
beat Washington.
Yeah, they did not beat Washington.
Cal, you didn't expect anything. Stanford, you didn't expect anything. Utah, they won one out of two.
Colorado, I think certainly at home against any Pac-12 team,
even
as it
Arizona,
stands now,
who they proved
as
they
it
could
stands
be last
now,
year. Yeah.
At home, they have a chance.
Yeah, I agree.
Still, as far as expectations go, I think we'll obviously learn a lot
this
weekend.
This is the thing,
against
though.
Arkansas on Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be the first test.
That's an intriguing matchup.
Who just destroyed FAMU.
Yeah.
So
well,
they
both well are Arkansas. Mike Anderson, the former Missouri coach, now there at Arkansas, famous for that.
Uh-huh.
Pardon my French. 40 minutes of hell, offense.
Is that French? Is that what that is?
No, it's not. But it's just an expression to say sorry if you're offended by poor language. But they run that 40 minutes of hell offense. This is going to be two offenses that want to move up and down the court. ASU hyped up the big offense,
high-octane
offense in the preseason, and they've shown that they can execute that on the court.
Well,
but now when you have a team with similar motives on the other side and actually has the athletes to compete with you stride for stride, that's going to be interesting to see how Arizona State and Arkansas match up in what should be a high-scoring game.
And Arkansas is third in the country in scoring. Now, granted, they haven't played anybody super impressive, but
right.
To be third in the country in scoring is to be third in the country in scoring. You can't really take anything away from that. Third in assists per game. So I'm not. And they have two guys averaging four assists or more, which is a pretty impressive stat in college. And ASU, this is I don't think this is going to be a win for ASU. I think this is going to be a
probably
game
not.
That, Where ASU's going to get its foot in the water in a real game situation. If they step up in that game, then my evaluations start skyrocketing a little. Because that's when you start. If this, and you're right, Alex, this is the test where we see, is this just three terrible teams ASU played at home, or is this something real? They're going to be playing a neutral court.
Orleans Arena. Vegas. Day after Thanksgiving,
Black Friday. That's another thing to take interest in is the fact that, remember, Herb Sendek had no control over this locker room last year. These guys were going off doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. You're taking a road trip to
that's
Vegas.
That's a good way to put it, their own thing.
You were taking a road trip to Vegas, okay?
Now, Vegas.
Sure, listen, but that's where, that's Sin City, folks.
Hey,
pardon
what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I hope Herb Sendek doesn't follow that rule. But
can you picture Sendek, Musselman,
and
Greer going, well, guys, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
This is going to be, you know that Cornell coach wouldn't be following that policy.
Oh, hello.
He'd be locking
Bill
up in their rooms, bolting
Bill
the door,
Courtney was
breaking the key.
Flipping out
he
on
was
the
fired
sideline
up.
Today. My goodness.
The first play, the guy's jumping up and down, he's going nuts, and you're thinking, wait. It's one play.
Yeah, hold up, Doc.
No, it wasn't. It
hadn't There's a
even,
lot of game left. Conserve your energy.
It hadn't even been a turnover. Hadn't been anything. They were still dribbling the ball up the court. And this guy is going nuts. Like it just been a huge, terrible call.
If you had looked at how upset Bill Courtney was throughout this game, I would be quite disappointed with how much ASU beat Cornell by.
Yeah.
Because apparently they were really not doing what they were supposed to.
But the thing is, like, as much as I don't like to focus on the off-court issues, that is something this ASU team struggled with heavily last year.
It was a significant factor.
This is something Carrick Felix, I'm looking at him, considering he was one of the guys who was involved with a bit of the situation last year. Can he fully shed that from last year, bring these guys together on your first road trip of the year, and start that team bonding? Because that's so huge in college basketball. And we've got a young team here at ASU.
Absolutely.
A very young team. They're going to stay together for a while, the core pieces at least. I'd like to see what this team could do down the line, but especially in their first test on the road or in a neutral site.
Another key stat from tonight, 23 turnovers for Cornell.
Yeah.
Much of that was Bashinsky's blocks, but a lot of it was good lockdown defense on the perimeter
turnovers.
As well.
Gilling had a lot to do
23
with
turnovers.
Gordon.
That's the most by an ASU opponent since 2007.
Wow.
Oh, man. Are blocks turnovers or shot attempts?
Those are turnovers. If you,
if
recover,
you recover
it in
the
play.
Ball, yeah.
If you recover the ball in play,
that.
That's a turnover. No. More turnovers, steals, blocks, offensive fouls, all that, turnovers. Yeah.
So let's shift gears a little bit. Football is still going on.
Wait, what?
As much as we kind of
is there a rivalry game this Friday?
There is a rivalry game.
The oldest rivalry game
this Friday.
College football? No.
The oldest.
It's
apparently
up there.
That's what it says on Cronkite Sports, the oldest in college football.
Really?
CronkiteSports.com. Justin Emerson.
Wow.
Ron Arco says.
Learn something new every day.
I didn't know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you think about how long these schools have been around for. And thing is, this game comes down to the wire pretty much every year. I mean, there have been very few blowouts in recent memory. And there's no – I don't see any way this game becomes a blowout this time around either.
Well, these are the two best teams that have played in the Territorial Cup since I bet anybody watching can remember very well. There hasn't been – an ASU and Arizona team of this caliber stepping onto the field at the same time in a very long time.
Yeah, there's some stat about both of them having a winning record.
It hasn't been done. I feel like I heard 19 years, but I don't want
to
quote that.
To verify that rivalry comment, the Territorial Cup is one of the oldest trophy rivalries in the NCAA.
Okay.
So not exactly, but still very old.
Sure.
Been around a while.
Yeah.
Arizona leads the all-time series 47-37-1. There was one tie.
Those lame ones.
The cup originated in 1899. Okay. Your grandparents or your great ancestors were roaming the earth.
My great-grandparents, probably.
Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
My grandparents
Henry Ford
were born in 33.
Wasn't even known yet.
No.
Wasn't known yet.
Yes, wasn't known yet. There you go. Way to clarify that.
And you look at these recent results. Last year, we saw that game. Arizona won narrowly on a last-minute drive of Arizona State. The year before that, block, extra point. Who could forget that?
Oh,
one of the most memorable games in the rivalry. Then Arizona won by 3, 2009. And then 2008, it was a 21-point win for Arizona.
It's a legit
rivalry.
But
you look at all these games, most of them are a one-possession game or fewer. This is never a guarantee for any team, ever. It doesn't matter how much talent you have. It doesn't matter how much of an edge you have in this game.
Yep.
Arizona and Arizona State are going to come down to the wire.
There's no question.
No, I mean, they don't prepare for any game as much as they do for this one. Because this matters to everybody. This is the entire state of Arizona's football watching.
Well, especially
paying
when
attention
it means,
to this.
When it means being 500 or not.
And this is ASU's chance. This is ASU's chance to bring U of A down to their level. It's going to be, these teams would both be 7-5.
And ASU would technically have the better season by having the tiebreaker.
ASU would get a better bowl game. Last year they finished 6-6. I don't think ASU wants to do that again.
They're actually going to get a worse bowl this year compared to the Vegas Bowl last year.
Team is going to be fired
but
up.
From team wise,
right?
Team
you'd
is
still
be.
They
fired
have an actual
up
chance
they can beat
maybe
U of
to
a
win a bowl
instead of
you
Boise
know, no
State.
No matter what bowl they got, they were going to get crushed last year.
Team is going to be
and especially when Boise State comes
and they
walking
got
in
that, and they got
pissed
that,
off.
Yeah, BCS. Pooped in your face, Boise State. They're going to come in and kill anybody, and they did. My goodness. Oh, my goodness.
That was, just looks so
sad. That's a good
sad.
Way of putting it.
Cold,
poop in your face.
Dreary.
It was, Boise State had a great team. Not necessarily deserving of a BCS Bowl, but deserving of a high-level bowl.
Not the Vegas Bowl.
Not the Vegas Bowl.
Against
Arizona
a miserable
State.
Arizona
There's
State
nothing
team.
Wrong with the Vegas Bowl. Good teams play in the Vegas Bowl frequently. And BYU's playing the Vegas Bowl like 1,000 times.
BYU, Boise State was an elite team last year.
Absolutely.
No reason they should have been playing there. It's kind of going off on a rant there, but the
anyway,
point
it's
going
to be different.
ASU, U of A, different every year, but always close, seems to be. This year, I mean, we've kind of given our picks in the WCSN stuff. Do you guys see it going in the favor of Arizona? I mean, let's just, not to give predictions outright yet. But
I do.
Well, we're coming to the point where we need to give predictions here.
And let's talk about that in a second. How important to our perception as fans, as journalists, as students of this season, of Coach Graham's first season, whatever, how important is a win here to that perception? Because
huge.
I mean, would
this,
you say
this makes or breaks?
Would you say it
I
goes from
this,
large, significant disappointment to reasonable success?
Not
I
significant
wouldn't even, it
disappointment.
It won't be a significant disappointment either way, because my expectation for this team was maybe 6 wins at most. So I'm happy with 6 wins.
Okay.
That's great.
I agree.
You get to 7-5. You beat Arizona after losing them last year. You get to a somewhat better bowl game.
Maybe. Who knows? But a game that they could win.
Well, your bowl game will be better if you're 7-5 than 6-6.
Well, what he was saying is that because of the Pac-12 situation right now, more teams are eligible, more teams are good. They may actually get a worse bowl. But the point is, a bowl game that you feel better going into.
That will be competitive.
Exactly.
And you'd be 7-5. I mean, coming this year, if I told you you'd be 7-5, you'd take it in a heartbeat. Anybody
yes.
would. Todd Graham may have taken it
especially
in a heartbeat.
Especially if that includes beating your rival on the road.
It's yes. Especially because that ends your season on a high note, your regular season granted, but that's the biggest game of these guys' lives.
How?
These seniors that go out there, this is huge for them.
How do you? I agree.
It's huge for the culture. Todd Graham needs this to go, listen, I can whack these cross-state rivals anytime I want to.
Or wax them, as we've learned.
Wax.
I'm gonna wax the hair off their backs.
Whoa,
we're going to head
Todd.
Back to ASU with
Hello.
Some wildcat hide, okay,
oh.
to
oh,
pin
wow.
on our walls.
Todd Graham.
All right. Todd Graham's got to see this as a huge game in rallying support for this program.
I agree.
He's
I
making
agree.
No bones about it either.
None. Not
I
a
mean,
single
he's
bone.
Saying, not a single bone. He is saying this
he
is a huge
hide.
Game.
He doesn't want bones.
He wants hide. He wants hair.
Skin.
He wants skin. He wants to wax him.
Listen. We should be writing speeches for Todd
yes,
Graham.
Clearly. So let's look at it then this way. If they lose, and heaven forbid. But if they lose, and they well might. Rich Rod has gotten a great program there.
Nation's leading rusher, quietly,
yeah.
Kadeem Carey.
Where did that come from? My goodness. And they that quarterback's not bad down there.
Matt Scott, if he plays.
Yeah, the defense isn't great. I'd say ASU probably has the edge on the defensive side of things. But U of A's beaten better teams than ASU has.
And U of A has a better offense. I hate to say it.
No, it's true.
Points-wise, they're explosive.
It's true. Well, they have a running back that they are willing to give the ball to, for one thing. Inexplicably about ASU, they're unwilling to give the ball to any of the three running backs. And they have a quarterback who's a little older, knows a little bit what he's doing a little bit better. So it's entirely possible that ASU loses this game. If they do, what is your perception of the season?
It's not a disappointment, but there's not going to be any
it's a forgettable
major
season.
Hype going into next year. It's just going to be, oh, 6-6, average, what we expected. Let's just toss this out the window. We'll see what happens
Let's
next year.
Let's just hope. You just head into next year. Let's just hope it gets better next
yes.
year. It's a forgettable year. You're going to go, man, I remember that year with Brock Osweiler and all those guys when we should have been so much better than 6-6. Then you go, and then there was a year where we were 6-6 because we should have been. That was right. That was about right down the line where we should have been.
Okay.
We were what we thought we were, basically. Okay, this team has a chance to elevate above that with a win in U of A, with a win in Tucson. Not only that, but like I said, for the seniors, for this entire football program, because this is the first year under Todd Graham, and if you want to make a statement early, you head on the road to your rivals and stick it to them. I'm saying that's the biggest statement you can make at this point in the season, or at any point in the season. If you could tell me at the beginning of the year that this team is going to end up 7-5, I would want them to beat U of A over anybody. Wouldn't care if it was Oregon.
Sure.
Wouldn't care if it was USC. U of A is the game you need to win.
Sure.
And that sparks you. It sparks you.
Honestly, if you said that they were 7-5, you probably would expect that they were beating U of A if you really broke it down. Because there's five losses in there. UCLA is the only other potential.
True.
There's not really any wins to hang your hat on for this ASU team right now. If they beat U of A, they've got that.
Yeah.
He's ranked right now.
It no, there aren't any
teams.
Wins to hang your
it
head
makes
on.
This
there's not.
No,
there's
NAU,
no.
Illinois, no.
Colorado,
Utah, no.
Utah,
Colorado,
Cal,
no. Cal, no. Washington State, no.
It makes
Arizona
this year
would
memorable.
Be a win to hang your hat
it
on. You could
cements,
say, you know what? It was hard. We lost to good teams, but we beat one good team, and it was our
and,
rival.
And it
and
cements
it was the last game.
Which
it
is
cements
what you
the
would
season.
Be happy with
right.
going into this year. If you beat one of Arizona, Oregon, USC.
And you would be happier if you'd known how good this Arizona team turned out to be.
But you can only get better than 7-5 from here. This team is going to get better. This team is on the rise.
I agree.
This team is on the rise. This is the first year under Todd Graham. You end 7-5. You've got a great program heading into the future.
Okay, so I agree. So with that in mind, we've got to get out of here. Let's have some picks. Alex, let's start with you.
First, let's build up. Let's build up. Let's talk about some quick basketball picks for this weekend
oh, sure.
while we're gone for Thanksgiving. Will they pick up a win? In the Vegas Invitational, they're going to play Arkansas, and they'll play either Creighton or Wisconsin, two ranked teams in the second matchup. Either way you look at it, do they go 2-0, 1-1, 0-2?
I'm going 0-2. Sorry, boys.
Wow,
that's a
I
quick
haven't
answer.
Like broken down that yet, but
I know the second game's a loss. Sorry, but Creighton and Wisconsin are both so solid. And they're both tournament teams.
So it comes down to Arkansas.
It comes down to Arkansas, and I think it's going to be a narrow game.
I think it's
going to
be a very
it.
Close game.
I don't see ASU winning it.
But they haven't shown anything yet, as
let's
much as
at,
I hate to say it.
Let's
so
look at this.
That they can win.
What are you calling, Alex?
I say, begrudgingly, 0-2. I think it's going to be a very, very close game with Arkansas. Very close.
0-2 sweep?
Arkansas is an SEC team, but they can be exploited, especially winning by only 5 against Sam Houston State to start the year.
I am going to go out on a limb. I think the money is better on what you guys have said on the sweep, but I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say that they'll beat Arkansas. And the reason is they've been able to beat teams without size, and Arkansas doesn't have it. They have one guy, 6'10", Hunter Mickelson, out of Jonesboro, Arkansas.
The thing is, this team is going to play the game Cornell plays, but better.
And I think that Arizona State will play a better game than they did against Cornell.
I won't be surprised either way, but until they show it to me, I just have last year in my mind.
So
I'll say 1-1. I think that the Sun Devils can do it.
About the territorial cup.
Okay, now the real one.
I'm going to give my prediction right away. We've only got so much time left. I have to go with U of A. I hate saying it because I love this ASU team, and I think this ASU team has a chance to be something great. But U of A is so talented, and they're at home. They've got a star quarterback and a star running back in Matt Scott and what's the running back's name?
Kadeem Carey,
who's leading the Pac-12 right now in rushing. Or the nation.
The nation. Okay. He's not even a Doak Walker finalist.
I'm calling
U
of A winning it 28, but it's going to be a close one to 24 of ASU. Alex, what do you got? Wow.
I'm just going to say it flat out. Sorry, ASU fans. 44-27, Arizona.
Ouch. Wow. Just smacking them down. Looks like U of A has been doing the waxing in this one. Kyler.
Man. I'm looking at the losses that Arizona had. They were to all the same teams, except Stanford instead of Missouri.
And they were on the road.
Yeah, on the road in most cases. Man.
Did my speech
inspire
you?
3 points short against Oregon State. I want so badly to say, because I believe in this Arizona State team. I really do. I believe in them. I believe they are better than we've seen. I believe they will leave everything on the field. I believe in Todd Graham. I believe in Taylor Kelly. I believe in so much on that team. But I think Arizona is better. This is a depressing end to this really fun episode, guys.
Pull out your tissue boxes.
Arizona,
folks.
I hope we're all wrong. I hope we come back.
I hope so as well.
I hope we all have good things.
Sun Devil fans can rub egg in our faces and we're all wrong and we'll just lick
What's
it
What's the
off.
Score?
Or turkey stuffing.
Score.
Oh, score 38-27 Arizona.
So I have the biggest margin.
I have the narrowest margin. I was reading recent scores, and that didn't have any
wrong.
Effect. I gave an inspirational speech to you people, and you still haven't gotten slapped.
I hope I'm dead wrong.
But I hope I'm wrong, too.
At
well,
home,
folks,
U of A, they put up points.
Let's hope that we're all hungover from Turkey Day, if that's the case. And if not, let's hope our acuity is quite strong. I might be going out to Tucson. I don't know. Trey, I know, is as well. Alex, are you going home?
Via Portland.
Going home via Portland. Very nice. We'll have a happy Thanksgiving,
Alex. So I'll be watching
Alex.
The Territorial Cup from Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, Trey, maybe I'll run into you, maybe not. Regardless, folks, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Give thanks for your blessings. Give thanks for your friends. Give thanks for ASU basketball. And let's hope we have thanks to give for ASU football. It's been a blast, folks. We'll see you next week. You have been in the night, sir.
If the sun refused to shine, I would still be loving you. When mountains crumble to the sea, there will still be you and me. Kind of woman, I give you my days gone by.
And so today my world, it smiles. Your hand in mine, we walk the miles. Thanks to you, it will be done. For you to me are the only one. All I say, happiness, no more be sad. Happiness, I'm glad. If the sun refused to shine, I would still be loving you. Mountains crumble to the sea.